All right. So as I said, I'm going to be giving the presentation primarily authored by Jennifer Casper. All the other people listed here are our co-authors for this presentation, specifically looking at Doctors for Global Health and its partnerships with community health workers in El Salvador. And I have no, neither I nor Jen Casper have any relationships to disclose. These are the learning objectives, wanting to look at the history of activities of community health workers in El Salvador, highlight our partnership with a couple different communities in rural areas, and look at some sort of challenges and questions about how community health workers work within the larger healthcare system. So that's going to include a brief background on El Salvador, the civil conflict and recent major political changes, things to do with socio-demographics, a little bit about Doctors for Global Health and our partnerships with communities in Estancia and Santa Marta, a little background on the political changes and the reform of the health system that's going on now, and things to, having to do with advantages and disadvantages of community health workers and the challenge of working in those areas. So this is El Salvador. The arrows point to the two areas where we work, in the departments of Morazan and Cabañas. Both of those are poor and geographically isolated areas of a poor country. This is what Estancia looks like, very mountainous and difficult to access by most methods of transportation. Just a little background on the Civil War in El Salvador, which now seems a long time ago. It lasted from 1980 to 1992, although the effects are obviously still felt, and I was interested, one of the presenters in the previous session talked about the fact that this kind of trauma can take three generations to really allow the society to move on, and that's certainly true in El Salvador. There were 80,000 people killed, 1 million refugees, many who went to the United States, countless people tortured and disappeared. There was bombardment and lots of use of napalm that led to a major amount of deforestation. The health budget was cut in half. Many of these communities that were really affected by the conflict, of which these two were both seriously affected, had almost no health system. The communities of both Santa Marta and Estancia, many people just moved in mass to camps in Honduras, where they worked with volunteer physicians who trained village health workers, and they began this model there in the refugee camps. They went back to their same community, Santa Marta in 1987 and Estancia around 1990, where they then continued with this model, and DGH has developed partnerships with both of those communities since then. So a little bit more about El Salvador. Nearly 7 million people. It's a very small and therefore the most densely populated country in Latin America. The economic shift has been sort of interesting. Before the war and during the war, even coffee was the major source of cash earnings. Now it's kind of turned into a banking oligarchy where the top five banks have combined wealth that's five times the government budget. Very high income disparities, lots of work in the informal sector. And as part of the legacy of the war, there are still 2.5 million Salvadorans who live and work in the United States, and they send back the equivalent of 17% of the GDP from their work in the United States. 50% of the people live on less than $2. Many don't have potable water, sanitation. A quarter of them can't afford the basic cost of food. And then, of course, lack of access to health care. Specialized health care is very concentrated in the capital, San Salvador, and Estancia, for example, is a fairly long distance from even the lowest level Ministry of Health clinic and much farther away from a hospital. So a little bit about Doctors for Global Health. This is our mission, improving and fostering health and other human rights with those most in need, and trying to educate and inspire others to action. We talk about part of our philosophy being liberation medicine, which we sort of copied from Latin American liberation theology pioneers. And we talk about it as the conscious and conscientious use of health to promote human dignity and social justice. We also talk about accompaniment, which is another word that was kind of borrowed from something that's used more in Spanish. But the reason why we specifically use that word is we're talking about going to places only where we're invited, not going in without knowledge of where we're going, what we've been invited to do, and working with the community in the way they wish to progress toward better health as opposed to imposing our own thinking. So just a couple slides about Santa Marta. Most of what I have to say is about Estancia. From 1987 to 1999, the community health workers, most of whom had been trained in the camps in Honduras, were the only health care providers in this area. There was a Ministry of Health clinic established in 1999, which has generally been obviously a good thing, but one of the challenges is that it employed a few, but not nearly all, of those community health workers. It changed their role to being sort of outreach workers as opposed to doing basic medical or preventive care. However, some of the others, including ones who weren't the ones that were chosen to be employed, have still been sought out by members of the community, and so it creates some complicated difficulties with the healthcare system in that community. There was also, and one of the things that we've concentrated on, there was also at the very beginning of this process an attempt to have a rehab center, and part of that was the history of it is that a whole lot of wounded war veterans came back to Santa Marta, and so it began treating amputees and other people who had been injured in the war, but has really continued to treat other people with physical disabilities in the community. And in addition, developing some sort of preventive or community-based things that aren't really working with people who are disabled, especially things to do with early childhood development. They also do a fair amount of basic physical therapy and occupational therapy. And now what we're hoping to do is be able to give them more education. And we've actually found a cadre of physical therapists and other people who have been going there regularly as volunteers and trying to further this work. In Estancia, our partnership is with health promoters who provide both curative and preventive medicine and problem solving in public health. From the beginning, we imagined working with these health workers on three different levels. One was basic medical care, again, because at the beginning they were all there was, and actually they still are all there is in many of these small communities. Treating common illnesses, working on nutrition, hygiene, sanitation. But we also envisioned them as working to solve other public health problems. One of the notable things that they did from the very beginning was introduce iodized salt into the area because it was an area with endemic goiter, and that problem has essentially gone away since they did that. And there's also a network of early childhood centers that provide nutrition support and developmental intervention for the children. And finally, we hoped, and actually I think we've seen some success in this, that they would become potential community leaders, playing a role in community development and health and in other arenas. But most of them, I mean, one of the challenges here is we started this trying to provide a very broad education because most of them were close to illiterate, very poor. Their education had been interrupted by the war, and many of them now, however, have achieved high school level education at least. In 2003, another part of the training became even more important because at that time, a large amount of funding that had come from Doctors of the World France is the one that had started this, and that funding ended at that point. And so a group of them decided to take on responsibility for running this project, which included a clinic, the network of childhood education centers, and they formed an NGO based in the community with the mandate of bringing about more comprehensive human development in the community. And at this point, several of the ones who were working basically as community health workers decided to become program administrators and leaders of the organization and developed expertise in fundraising, interacting with other NGOs, and various levels of the government. They named themselves Campesinos para el Desarrollo Humano, Campesinos for Human Development. They're now an organization that has 15 staff members and has successfully competed for several international grants, including grants as large as $100,000 to help their clinic, their childhood centers, a microcredit project, housing improvement, and other projects. And we have continued to provide some support for all of this. So now just a couple minutes about what's going on generally in El Salvador and how that affects this. For the first 20 years after the conflict ended, El Salvador was run by a very right-wing party that was elected election cycle after election cycle. But that ended last year when a party that was associated with members of the former rebel group, the FMLN, captured the presidency. And so they have a plan for a very different kind of health system and very different government. Constructing hope is what this says. And so taking the cue from Almaada, health being a public good, a human right, focusing on primary care, health promotion, improved access to medications. What they plan to do, it's very ambitious, is to make medical care essentially free to the people who access it over this five-year strategic plan. They have very specific plans for community health centers, how many community health workers they want to have, and also for access to subspecialties. So it's a very ambitious plan. It changes our interaction, having all this time been working with sort of separate NGOs, communities who were kind of creating their own health system totally apart from the government. And this kind of changes things because now some of our friends are in the government, which is how it has never been like that in El Salvador before. So just a couple words about strengths and weaknesses of community health workers of the kind that we've helped to form. I mean, obvious strength is they're from within the community. If they're chosen by the community, they have that connection to be community leadership. They have a long-term view of what they want to see happen with their communities. The problems that we've found, they can face discrimination, meaning from professional health workers, doctors especially. We've had many experiences where they've accompanied patients to hospitals or tried to make appointments with specialists, and you know, nobody will listen to them. But if a gringo volunteer with an accent that sounds like they come from the United States says, "I'm Dr. So-and-so," they get immediate attention from the healthcare system. And it's very hard to overcome that. So, and I think the other thing is that they require ongoing support and investment. I mean, nobody has been able to figure out how to make medical care self-sustaining in these kinds of communities, and that's something that we'll face forever. So finally, among the challenges, the first one I already talked about, changing the attitude of physicians trained in the old system who don't see what use community health workers are. One thing that actually may be helpful in this is over just the last few years, a number of Salvadorans have gone to medical school in Cuba, and actually now the one who functions as the director of the health center in Santa Marta and one who works part of the time in Estancia are both graduates of that school, and we hope and presume that they'll have a different attitude toward community health and community health promoters, and will then be able to be supervisors, mentors, and work more directly with them than what we've seen before. Obviously, it's a big financial challenge at the level of the whole country and the new government, how they're going to fund the system without charging people when they come to receive health care. And I think that's tied to the next point, which is that in all these situations, one has to be careful to divide the work in such a way that you're not really forcing on the community health promoters something that's really technically above their training and skill level. And then finding ways to involve those who have little formal education and schooling. I mean, we still have a large number that nobody in CDH, for example, has more than a high school level education. And that's another one of the barriers to running an NGO and doing all the things that they're trying to do. So that briefly is my presentation about the work in El Salvador. That's our website if you want to learn more about DGH. And thank you very much.